Chapter 190.
"You'd think that we'd be used to this by now. You would be wrong," Dorian muses, one arm around Llewellyn's waist to keep her from wandering into the crowd. Cullen sighs next to him.
"You probably shouldn't ignore this as the commanding officer here. That's how the military works, yes?"
"We can change that, probably," Cullen says, though he still continues to look on, mournfully, as Blackwell physically holds Sarah back from trying to throw a strange flask at Cole. "She knows it would just go through him, right?"
"Probably piss her off even more," Dorian says, drawing a circle with a finger. "A vicious, vicious cycle. And here comes Bull to save the day. I never thought I'd say that."
"Is this what it looks like when delegation goes well?" Cullen muses.
"No, this is what it looks like when delegation goes the way it always goes in this insane and twisted conundrum of an organization. You put the word organization to shame," Dorian says, squeezing Llewellyn tighter against his side, and sighing when she absently starts to chew on the wrist of her own shirt.
10 minutes, I swear. 10 minutes of watching this train wreck, and then we can go check on the kittens."
"What kittens?" Cullen asks. Because honestly, if Llewellyn or Cole hasn't put it in his bed, bookshelf, or clothes chest when he wasn't looking, Cullen isn't aware of its existence. It being the presence of any small animal.
"I was going to show you later, but Cassandra told me I shouldn't," Llewellyn says, releasing her sleeve from her teeth, sounding sullen. "Cole was going to sneak them in tonight, though. He said they were ready."
"Was?
Is,"
Llewellyn demands.
"Don't tell Cassandra."
Down below them, Bull has Sarah and Cole in each arm and is saying something and bodily dragging them off to the garden.
"Should I be concerned?" Cullen says.
"I should be concerned."
Sarah is throwing bottles and Skinner is, somehow, catching them all. Cole looks like he wants to disappear. Cullen is honestly surprised he hasn't already.
"There are kittens in the garden," Llewellyn muses. "Do you think Bull is going to show them those kittens?"
"Just how many kittens are there in Skyhold?" Dorian asks. Cullen and he both turn to look at her. Llewellyn hums, eyes fixed on the clouds.
"Not enough," she eventually answers. "Can we go look at the ones behind the stables now?"
Vivienne sits next to her bed, hands neatly folded in her lap, or otherwise holding a book that she skims through. Sometimes she reads and answers letters, occasionally commenting on them out loud to Llewellyn. Llewellyn's remaining hand flexes, restless, but the rest of her is too weak, recovering, to follow suit. Her eyes roam the ceiling, looking for something. Vivienne knows better than to ask what. Vivienne also knows better than to ask what the woman is thinking, how she's feeling, what's going on in her head. They've raised her into, perhaps, one of the most dangerous players in the game, in that Llewellyn is no longer playing. Sometimes Llewellyn's eyes are a piercing on her face, looking into her the way that Vivienne sometimes remembers her looking into others. The commander, Varric, the Iron Bull, on the occasion, even Solas. She wonders what Llewellyn sees, and why she has chosen now to look at Vivienne like that. It is discomforting. It is old and powerful, in ways Vivienne has never associated with youth and summer. More violent, violent spring than any sort of golden field of grain. Llewellyn's declaration has left all of Thedas reeling, and it is by some stroke of luck, or perhaps respect or fear or both, that keeps them from being bodily thrown out of the Winter Palace while she recovers from her injuries. Physical injuries. There are just some hurts that never do heal. Sometimes they fester. Vivienne knows so much about that sort of festering wound. You learn to cover it up. You learn to soak in the infected fluids of it and make it part of you. You become protective of it. You dare others to touch it, to try and bear a small drop of the magnitude of your putridness. Your pulchritude. Llewellyn's face is so much glass, captured in a single strike of lightning. A single betrayal that undid over 20 years' worth of resistance to hatred and oppression and violence. A leash. Llewellyn's voice. Low, deep, sinuous. A serpent sliding out of its shell. The rumbling storm at the edge of the horizon. Breaks the silence as she watches Vivienne with those piercing eyes.
You once told me is pulled both ways.
Llewellyn watches. Vivienne watches back. They are not the same sort of serpent. Yes. Vivienne closes the book between her palms, feeling the cover with every inch of her raw and alive and seething skin. The corner of Llewellyn's lip curls up, softly, gently, a drop of rain.
And if the leash is cut?
Llewellyn asks, and the bandaged arm moves. A small shift, really. Nothing Vivienne should make note of. Everything Vivienne should be on guard for. Then it's a free-for-all, and the rules no longer matter, Vivienne replies. Llewellyn smiles fully, a bloom of teeth and serpent scales. The storm. Did you love him? Sarah asks her once. Just once, because Sarah isn't stupid. Once is enough to dredge it all up. It's enough to put it away after.
I do, Llewellyn says,
and her face is everything that Sarah hates about the Llewellyn in the rain, even though there isn't a single cloud in sight. Sarah wonders if this is what Andraste's face would have looked like if she were an elf. Sarah doesn't ask about why still now, because she's trying to be Llewellyn's friend, even after all this. And that's hard, but Llewellyn is worth it, because Llewellyn was with her the entire time. That's what friends mean, don't it? You stay with them, even when it's hard and scary, because they stay with you, and this is just another kind of love, or something. So Sarah just nods and looks away, even though Llewellyn is still looking at her. And Sarah's eyes skip over the space where the fancy part that made her important was. Llewellyn's important part is still in her somewhere. Sarah believes that with everything she has. And it's worth the belief. Because sometimes, Llewellyn will laugh like she used to and say something so stupidly crazy and out of this world that she's nothing but the Llewellyn Sarah knew in snow and castle gardens and tavern walls. I'm glad you're my friend, Sarah says to her. Reminds her. Reminds both of them. And Llewellyn raises a silent eyebrow. Friend or friend? Both. More the first one. Llewellyn smiles.
So am I, she says.
And Sarah can't help but snap her into a hug and squeeze her with everything she has because friends. Sarah presses her cheek to Llewellyn's. Say hi to whoever it is you're going to see next for me, Sarah says. Write me. Also, if anyone did anything stupid, you tell me. If you're going to see Varric next, tell him I'm coming over. Also, come back soon, yeah? One arm comes up to touch the back of Sarah's neck, and that one arm is strong enough to push Sarah to almost crying again.
Yes,
Llewellyn says, cheek warm against Sarah's.
Yes.